I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Big news update came out today. Wow. I didn't hear you mention this on the news, Deborah Mark.
What?
Ryan Seacrest is the new host of Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, yeah. I did earlier today, and I was going to do that again in a little bit. But yes. Yep.
That's really critical to know.
Yeah, it is. He's taking over for Pat next year. Yeah,
but there's an update on the story.
What?
Vanna White has lawyered up. She supposedly has not had a pay raise in years. She makes around $3 million, it's reported. $3 million for pointing at the letters. But anyway, it takes a lot of advertising money, this show. Pat Sajak is supposedly making $15 million. And there's also possibility that they may want to start fresh and bump her off the show.
I'll do it. So, for a lot less. A lot less. I can continue to do your show and that. I'll do both.
Do you watch the show at all? Because if you did, you'd know that there's a Nepo baby in line.
Yeah, well.
And no, Maggie Sajak. I know. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
She does their social media. She's Pat's daughter. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's who they put in the letter turner role. Mm. So,
oh, well.
If that happens.
You know,
I'm sure fans
dream.
Want Vanna to stay on. Yeah, and someone's going to say, for some continuity, we need to keep one of them on the show. And if Pat's leaving, we need to keep Vanna on the show. So, who knows? But she's definitely holding out for more money, it appears. If she really hasn't gotten a pay raise since 2005, I guess I understand that. So someone probably said to her, though, hey, you know, somebody else can point at the letters and not you. Yeah, but people love her. They tune in to watch her turn the letters. But there you go. All right, John and Ken show. Chance for Money is coming up in less than 15 minutes. The KFI Inflation Compensation Cash Contest is back. And we'll have a keyword that'll be revealed at around 20 after the hour. We got word yesterday afternoon that Republicans in the state assembly, granted there aren't a lot of them, but they're there and they're still fighting. They got a floor vote today on their proposal to suspend the California gas tax increase, which takes effect every July 1st and is coming in just a week or so. That was their idea. They got themselves a floor vote, and we see the press release this afternoon that on a straight party line vote, the gas tax increase will take effect. This is, again, is the California, the state gas tax that you pay on every gallon of gasoline. Let's bring on Assemblymember James Gallagher, Republican, to talk about this. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Ken. Good to be with you again.
All right. So did you guys feel like at least you pulled something out by getting the floor vote?
Well, we thought it was the least they could do, being that they're going to pass a budget today that increases your costs, then maybe the last thing, you know, at least we could, you know, cut people's gas tax and suspend the increase that's supposed to happen on July 1. And, of course, what we got is the same thing we always get out of Democrats is, no, we don't have time for that. And on a party line vote, they struck that down. So same old out of Sacramento here, Ken.
Now, what is the amount of the upcoming gas tax increase?
Well, it amounts to, I believe, $600 million total. You know, and that's paid across all Californians. You know, but, you know, it's a hefty chunk of change when you have to pay that at the gas pump every day. Gas is over $4 a gallon in most parts of California, so we're already feeling the pain, and it's only going up.
Yeah, so it's probably, it says here it's about an 8% increase.
Yeah, it's a, I think it's like a 30-cent increase is what it amounts to per gallon.
And just to refresh people, because this happens every July 1st, we're looking at another increase in the gas tax, and you guys have tried before to suspend it. And I even think, am I right that Newsom at one time mentioned he was in favor of that, but didn't seem to follow through?
Yeah, last year, Newsom made a big deal about that he was, you know, planning to do that. And then, of course, he capitulated to the Democratic supermajority of the legislature and did not suspend the increase. And yeah, this is every year. I mean, the Democrats cleverly put together this gas tax, which, you know, we all opposed and we tried to repeal. But when they put that together, they put in automatic increases based on inflation. And guess what? You know, we've had record inflation. So we continue to see these rises in the gas tax every year.
And I'm sure it's all being used very wisely to keep our roads in the best of shape.
Yeah. Don't you drive on the best roads in California? Don't you have the best infrastructure? Yeah. You know, things falling apart. The aqueduct is subsiding. And this is the thing we pointed out. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, today they passed a record budget once again and, you know, gave Hollywood a tax credit while small businesses get a tax increase. San Quentin is going to be turned into a day spa. First dream. $380 million for that with no plan of, you know, no plan of action, but just give them $380 million to do that. And no audit on any homeless spending. We're just going to continue to spend money on the homeless problem that everyone can see is not getting solved.
Yeah, I'm scratching my head over these budget tricks. I mean, the headlines this year were that we have over a $30 billion deficit, and they pass a budget where, what, they didn't really cut any spending. They're going to spend over well over $300 billion again in total. How do they pull this crap off?
Gimmicks, smoke and mirrors. So they actually, what they do is often what they're doing is just delaying payments. So they kind of keep those, you know, budget monies allocated, but they delay the actual payment of it. You know, borrowing. I mean, they're continuing to borrow from different funds. And they didn't really use much of the reserve. I mean, there's been a record reserve built up, you know, for a rainy day. They didn't use much of that because I think what they know is these next few years are going to be very financially devastating for the state of California.
Yeah, I mean, just to explain, people who aren't versed in financials, a budget is just a piece of paper. The key is whether or not you actually run out of cash. That's when you run out of into trouble, when you can't pay your bills. Was there any debate, floor debate over this today at all? Did people make arguments for and against suspending the gas tax increase?
Yeah, so I mean, we put up the motion, and often what happens is, you know, we make the argument for why this needs to be done. And what we get is a motion to lay on the table. That's a special way of saying, no thanks. We don't want to actually vote on your motion. And so the lay on the table vote gets taken up, and that's usually a party line vote. And so, you know, we had all the Republicans voting to actually do that amendment and suspend the gas tax. And all the Democrats lined up according to order and, you know, voted against their constituents' interests in any way.
Yeah, well, we always hear that there's a couple of Democrats who are hesitant about this because high gas prices really hit their poorer constituents. Nobody abstained. Nobody voted present. All the Democrats voted in favor of not suspending the gas tax.
I believe so. And I'd have to go back and check that vote. But I mean, because it just happened, you know, I just stepped off the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a party line vote. And as I understand it, all the Democrats voted not to suspend the gas tax.
Well, and I think we know the reason for that. This came up the last year or two when we were really in this phase of higher and higher gas prices. But now the talk about this has kind of dwindled. So maybe they don't think there'll be so much focus or coverage of this. So, yeah, they can vote no on suspending the gas tax increase and not really get much coverage over it. That's probably really what's going on.
Yeah, and you know what they did do, Ken? They bailed out mass transit here in California.
Yeah, I saw that.
$5 billion worth, for a system that is totally failing. No one wants to ride because it's become mass transient.
Mass transient.
Somebody shooting up.
Yeah.
That's what we got now, right? I mean, that is what we have. And they just,
was a lot of that the Bay Area transit systems, or was that all over the state needed money? Was it the Bay Area?
All over the state, but definitely BART, Bay Area Rapid Transit is getting that bailout.
There's nobody left on BART, right? Everybody gave up on BART. They were giving up on BART before the pandemic, but that just sealed it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, nobody feels safe riding that, because they don't enforce. I mean, they let, homeless transients get on there. They're shooting up on the train. They're exposing themselves on the train. And who wants to ride a train when that's going on? I mean, nobody feels safe, but there's no accountability. It's just, hey, spend more money on a failed system.
And I bet they kept going with money for high-speed rail.
Yep, continuing to fund the high-speed rail, which I don't know how many miles of track we've laid now, but it's not much.
No.
and they've, now they're going to do it from Madera to, Bakersfield.
Bakersfield, right.
So it's going to be really amazing. Amazing project here.
Yeah.
More of the same. No money for water storage. We just came out of a drought. No new money for that. No streamlining of new projects that need to get built. Housing, continues to be the biggest, CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, continues to be the biggest impediment to building more housing in the state. No streamlining on that front. And, it's very frustrating. I mean, the state, the Democrats continue to run this state into the ground, and that's fact.
The people have to vote them out, and they just refuse to do that, despite where they're taking us. Well, thanks for talking to me, James Gallagher. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, Ken.
All right, that's Republican Assemblymember James Gallagher with the news that, yes, your gas tax will go up on July 1st. That's the state gas tax. There was an effort again by Republicans in Sacramento to suspend the increase. It's not going to happen, so... Well, even though prices have been dropping a bit the last couple of weeks, they're still way too high. But again, it's worth repeating the story that the state of Washington passed up California with the gas prices. And the reason for that is they adopted a dopey cap and trade. We told you that's the hidden cost of what you're paying in gas prices. It's not just the taxes. And it's not just what's going on with the refineries and California regulations. It's all their cap and trade and all of their nonsense to get you out of your car. All right, coming up next, maybe a little help for you. The KFI Inflation Compensation Contest returns with a keyword. Be listening for it and your chance to win some money. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
A couple of guys ripped off a Brinks armored truck in Reseda, parked outside of Taco Bell. Not sure how much money they got. But they took off. Two men wearing painter's jumpsuits. Undisclosed amount of money. Along with a Brinks guard's gun. There you go. Another day in Southern California. Well, we have a chance for you to win money right now.
Now, your chance to win $1,000.
Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website.
Bonus. That's bonus, B-O-N-U-S.
Enter it now at KFIAM640.com/cash.
Powered by Sweet James Accident Attorneys.
If you're hurt in an accident, winning is everything.
Call the winning attorneys at Sweet James.
1-800-9-MILLION.
That's 1-800-9-MILLION or sweetjames.com.
Bonus is the key word. Make sure you go to KFIAM640.com/cash. This is where you enter the keyword. You have to go to the website and do this. Winners will be notified by email, so make sure to check your junk and spam folder to see if you are a winner. Listen to KFI AM 640 for the winning keyword every hour, every weekday. It starts at 9:20 in the morning with Gary and Shannon all the way until 5:20 on the Tim Conway Jr. Show. So that'll be your next chance to win at 4:20 with Tim on KFI. Well, from the world of let's take all the fun out of everything, this may come as a surprise to people who live in a number of communities in Los Angeles County. The one that is highlighted here are people who are planning to go to Redondo Beach's annual fireworks show. Here's the story from NBC4's Macy Jenkins.
It's spectacular. It's fun. It's 4th of July.
Just a week away from Independence Day, disappointing news for people in Redondo Beach looking forward to fireworks at the pier. Video on YouTube showing the annual event.
But I don't understand why we can't have them. There's got to be a way.
As of May 25th, fireworks shows in LA County now require a permit from the Los Angeles Regional Water Quality Control Board. Pyro Spectacular, the company responsible for the Redondo Beach show, wrote a letter to the city saying, "We have determined that we cannot safely comply with the general permit requirements without endangering our crews, emergency personnel, the public, and others involved in the event." After a district court ruling in March saying fireworks shows should be subject to the Clean Water Act, the board now has a list of rules every firework company must follow. The permit prohibits plastic trash after the show and recommends companies use alternative or biodegradable fireworks. No floating plastic can remain after the show, and all debris must be collected the next morning. The company must submit a pollution prevention plan and undergo monitoring of the plan's implementation.
I agree with those regulations. We don't need the debris in the water. There should be some way that they should be able to capture those.
The Water Quality Control Board says they've reached out to known fireworks displays over coastal waters in the region to explain the permit requirements and offer assistance with permit applications. But for now, people like Joan Brogdon will have to find another show for their 4th of July celebration.
Haven't thought about it, but I've been trying to think of where to go.
Now, so far, the board has received 6 applications from different companies, and those fireworks shows will go on as planned throughout the Los Angeles County area. Now, coming up at 5:45, I talked to the Redondo Beach Fire Chief. He talks about the new regulations and what he hopes to see happen next year.
I have seen the Redondo Beach fireworks show. I would imagine, unless this makes bigger news and it's put in some of the local publications, there's going to be thousands of people that are going to show up expecting the fireworks like they do every year out there over the pier. That it's not going to happen. I mean, this is just a week before the show goes on and people kind of plan around this. It's not going to happen this year. The new permit prohibits plastic trash after a fireworks show, recommends companies use alternative or biodegradable fireworks. And as you heard in the story, the company behind the Redondo Beach fireworks show says that they cannot meet the recommendations. They're called Pyro Spectacular. And they even said we can't safely comply with the general permit requirements, could endanger our crews, emergency personnel, the public, and others involved in the event. I wonder if there's more on that, because I don't really understand what would be endangering to the crew over what they would have to comply with in the permitting process. The Redondo Beach fire chief, who she said she was going to talk to later, his name is Patrick Butler, said the city tried to submit its own permit on the company's behalf, but Pyro, the company behind this, refused to move forward. I wonder if they just didn't want to go along with this because it may get to be too all-encompassing and too expensive for them to carry on. So they just basically want to show the water board people that we're just not going to comply with your crazy new regulations. So it said, oh, they're going to have a party at a seaside lagoon instead, but I guess there won't be any fireworks coming up over the water. No floating plastic can remain after the show. All debris must be collected the next morning. So when I first saw this story, I thought it was more about the air pollution side of this, but it's about the water pollution, because it's the water control people that are getting involved here. And once again, it's about taking away your fun. Fireworks are not only dangerous, they're polluting. It's possible that a firework could end up in a turtle's nose, like a straw, or a dolphin might run off with something that might be shot off over the water. All right, when I return, a chance to talk to the Riverside County Sheriff, Chad Bianco. He's in the news because he's decided, along with a number of other sheriffs from around the country, to join a committee of presidential candidate Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, to talk about what to do with our border problem. We have a president, Joe Biden, that doesn't care. We have a Homeland Security Secretary that constantly tries to tell us the border is secure despite millions of people and so many drugs coming in that more and more Americans are dying. They ignore the problem or pretend it doesn't exist. We'll talk to Chad about all this coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
John has some time off. I'm here with Deborah Mark giving you the news updates. All right, so now we're going to talk about the race for president. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis apparently has been forming a coalition of sheriffs to address the border crisis. And it says here 90 law enforcement officials from across the country signed on to a letter released by DeSantis's gubernatorial office voicing support for his stance on border security. At least somebody's talking about the border, right? You'd wish Trump would, but all he wants to talk about is losing the election and, of course, all the charges against him. Anyway, one of those sheriffs is the Riverside County Sheriff, Chad Bianco, who's going to join us now to talk about this, because clearly the Times ran a story on this, and there's many immigration groups very, very upset with this decision. So let's bring on Sheriff Bianco and talk about it. Welcome to the John and Ken Show.
Thank you. I appreciate being on. Thanks.
All right. So what is this about? What is exactly this coalition of sheriffs to address the border crisis, the whole thing about?
Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is read the letter. I mean, it really boils down to common sense and reason and actually thinking about something rather than just being told what to say. But we all know, all law enforcement knows, that what we have at the border right now is a disaster. And these, what's happening with these immigrant groups and civil rights, the ACLU, which is a complete that's a joke of another story, they want to make it something that it's not. And the reality for law enforcement is the overwhelming increase of drugs being brought into the country, the gangs that are controlling human trafficking, the cartels controlling human trafficking is a crisis. And we are dealing with it on a day-to-day basis. So to actually have someone on a national platform come out and say, I want you to join my stance in taking care of our border and helping with crime and security, it's pretty much common sense. But the rest of these people want to make it political or whatever it is. And I even made the comment the other day that if our president would come out and say, I want all these sheriffs to join me in my fight to secure our border and stop the drugs and the gangs from coming across, we'd join his coalition too. But that's never going to happen.
Yeah, no. I mean, and really under-discussed in all this. Clearly, there was a lot of coverage last month when Title 42 was ending about the great migrant rush into the United States, and that is an issue. But the whole drug thing, the fentanyl, and so many Americans that are dying from fentanyl poisoning is so undercovered and underplayed, and it's become a major, major problem at the border. And you barely hear the Biden administration and that the goofball that runs DHS, Mayorkas, say anything about this. They don't seem to be doing anything to stop. It says in there the story that DeSantis actually favors maybe the death penalty for drug cartel dealer leaders.
Yeah, and I did hear that. I've never read that. I did hear it, though, especially after the coverage from yesterday and all these people freaking out over what should be a common sense issue of fighting crime in our communities. But regardless of all of that, it's common sense. It's doing the right thing. It's protecting victims.
Yeah, exactly. It's what it's doing. It's protecting victims. What do you see in your county? It says here you did visit the border in Imperial County recently. What do you see in Riverside County as the biggest problems dealing with the open border?
Well, regardless of, and this is another thing, of what these activists that want to make it an issue that's not an issue. They want to paint me as a racist or anti-immigration or whatever they want to say. The reality is I'm completely against crime. I do not like criminals. I am biased against criminals. I don't like crime. I want to keep us as safe as possible. And the truth of our border is from the day this presidential administration took office and opened the border, we have seen a substantial, multifold increase in drugs coming across the border, in money and drugs being smuggled back into the country, and human trafficking, whether it's sex trafficking or labor trafficking. And that affects all of law enforcement on a day-to-day basis. But no one wants to talk about that. If we bring up the border and crime coming across, the cartels controlling who comes across and everything else and the drugs, we're just labeled as racist because no one wants to deal with the real issue of criminality and drugs and how we're going to keep us safe. We just paint everything with a Democrat or a Republican, and we label people that disagree with us as racist, and we hope that that emotional argument overrides the issue that they just don't want. They want drugs and alcohol or drugs into our country. They want criminals to have free reign in our country, and really we don't know why, and we don't address that because we're fighting over racism issues.
Yes, exactly. And of course, all the uproar over the migrant flights, flying migrants to places like California, by Florida and by Texas. I mean, what's your reaction to all of that? Isn't that a rational way to say, let's spread out the problem? We're not a sanctuary state or a sanctuary city. We have too many migrants who have come here from foreign countries. We can't handle this in our state. You need to spread them out. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But of course, this has been turned into another uproar, and you're right, claims of racism.
Yeah, and let me tell you the hypocrisy of that. We have between San Bernardino, Riverside, and Orange County, San Diego, and Riverside County. The state has sent over 100,000 immigrants to other states. Why is no one asking Governor Newsom about that? It's his funding. He's doing it. He's arranging it. But yet he's calling out governors from other states for sending them to California. There is no bigger hypocrite than our governor, and no one is calling him out on it, and no one is making him answer those questions. It when you get to that level where everyone's making things about politics, all of them are a joke, and they need to go away. We need to stop voting for these people and make them go away.
You're saying that California sent 100,000 migrants to other states?
At least.
And where do you get that information from?
Those are our numbers. They're being dropped off in Riverside County, Riverside County, San Diego County, and Orange County. We have to handle them. We have to process them. Our Department of Health, County Department of Health, has to make sure they're taken care of medically, physically. We house them in hotels if our NGOs don't have room, and then we figure out where they're going to go or where they want to go, and then we pay for them to get there. The state is paying millions and millions of dollars to send these people that are coming across illegally to other states. But yet our failure of a governor wants to accuse other people of doing it so he can get a few media spots for his God forbid run for president.
Yeah, that may be what we're looking at eventually someday, if not next year, in 2028. What do you think of the presidential campaign? So does this mean that you're endorsing Ron DeSantis and you think he has the best answers for the border problems?
No, it means that at all. It goes back to what I said earlier. If President Biden would come up with something like that, I'd jump on board with it. If you change the DeSantis name to Biden, I would jump on board with that also. And if Trump said something, or if Kennedy said something, I would be fully on board, because this isn't about politics. When you're talking about law enforcement and public safety, it's not about politics. It's right versus wrong. It's black versus white. And it's what are we doing to better make our communities safer? And if we're failing, we have to do something different. And if someone has a better way of doing it or a better plan, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, the other side likes to call the migrant crisis a humanitarian crisis. And, you know, you can make an argument that people are looking for an escape from their home country. But the drug part, I'm talking to Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco, the whole idea of getting all these drugs into the country, particularly now with the fentanyl problem, you would think they would be doing everything they could to stop this from happening. And one of my theories is that it's such a big moneymaker from Mexico. The Mexican government is not interested in stopping the cartels.
Yeah, probably not. And we all know it, through history, we know that the cartels have a major, major, major influence in the politics in Mexico. So you're exactly right with that. But here it's just all about politics. It's how can we use a catastrophe, or how can we use an emergency for our own benefit, and we'll twist it around and call it something that it's not, and we'll try and benefit from it politically. And it flies in the face of public safety, which is why no politician is going to debate a law enforcement officer about public safety, because, to be quite honest, the ones that we have, and especially the leaders we have, they don't care.
All right, Sheriff Chad Bianco, thanks for talking to me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You're welcome. Anytime.
All right. Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco. And of course, he's in the news because he's joined a coalition of sheriffs from around the country to address the border crisis. This is coming from the Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and his campaign for president. And they want to try to work on solutions to not only the migrant problem, but of course, the drug problem. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere. The iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
There is a brush fire burning out in Paris. You've been hearing on the KFI news updates. It started around 2:30 p.m. and it has destroyed something. Mentioned as perhaps cars, vehicles, maybe some structures. It's never clear right away what it is, but supposedly it's moving at a high rate of speed. You probably heard the news that we're going to have quite a warm-up coming for this weekend. Pretty much first time this year temperatures are going to reach 90s and 100 or more in some places. So we're already seeing some of the effects of that with this fire out in Paris. This is about 20 miles southeast of Riverside, and they're doing all they can to limit it. It's a vegetation fire in unincorporated Paris. They're calling it the Juniper Fire. Well, I just talked to the Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco. He's going to be part of a Ron DeSantis sort of a task force of sheriffs from around the country to talk about immigration issues and our border problem. Chad, of course, is stepping up like one other California sheriff to join the coalition for Ron DeSantis, who apparently went to Texas yesterday to continue to amplify the fact that we have an open border for both people and drugs. Meanwhile, there's a story that Politico ran that after lashing out at leading Republicans for busing asylum seekers to Democrat-led cities, New York City Mayor Eric Adams did something similar. He sent dozens of migrants to red states like Florida and Texas. In fact, in at least one case, he sent one of the migrants to China. Now, what they're claiming in this story, it says here, between April of last year and April of this year, they spent around $50,000 to resettle 114 migrant households in cities. They're saying here, you know, they sat down, they talked to the migrants about where they might want to go, and then figured out a plan, and then sent them individually. They didn't stick them on a bus. But same thing, right? Some of the migrants that are in Florida and Texas, I mean, if I landed in Texas and I looked around at some of the places there, like El Paso, which is overrun now with the shelters and people in the streets, I might, too, take a bus ride to another city. Where on the other end, as you found out in Sacramento, oh, we love this. They're very welcoming. We can't wait to greet our migrant friends. So, I mean, again, this story, which, as we've seen, is fading away fast with this idea of charging the governor of Florida, the governor of Texas with kidnapping or all that nonsense, has faded away quickly. And as we pointed out many times on the show, many Democrat leaders from around the country have been sending migrants to other places. It's just another case of the politics of exaggeration. All right, Tim Conway Jr.
Hey, now, hey, that fire is rolling now. If you're watching on TV, man, this poor guy's house is on fire.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's horrible. Bad news. We'll keep an eye on that fire. Plus, Costco is cracking down on membership sharing. You ever share your membership with anybody?
That's like Netflix is doing that,
yes,
too.
Yes, 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 yes.
No, I have not shared my... I do have a Costco membership. I haven't shared with anybody.
Yeah, I don't either, but my wife occasionally tries to use it, but I knocked that down.
But I have the card with my photo on it. But
oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Oh, by the way, I saw somebody at Costco getting their photo taken, and I was next in line, and she looked at it and she goes, hey, can we take another one? She took five photos before they got it right. It's a really crappy colored photo on the back of your Costco card, and she was so vain, she needed to have that correct. Isn't that crazy?
Some people's pictures are very important.
That's right.
You're not a selfie guy,
nah,
are you?
I don't care about selfies at all, please. And then we also have a brand new light rail coming into the San Fernando Valley. The first one, the Blue Line, opened in 1990. So only 33 years later, the Valley gets one.
Very nice.
Isn't that wild?
Well, as few people ride these things, what's the point of building them so quickly, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. As a matter of fact, I got into trouble when, you remember Charlie Beck, Chief Beck?
Oh, yeah.
The vibe on him is that he never went to the San Fernando Valley. So I met him right before he retired, and he said that, he goes, hey, I heard you on a Mike Thompson RV commercial. He said, I'm thinking about going to get one and drive around, you know, parts of the United States I've never seen before. I said, oh, you mean like the Valley?
Yeah, that's good.
And he did not like that.
The Valley gets
ignored. He didn't like it at all. The Valley gets totally ignored. There's no museum. There's no sports team. It's the seventh largest city in the world, in the United States, if it was its own city.
Remember how many times they try to secede?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. But they should. Money goes over the hill to everything else. Everything else.
All right, ding dong.
Ding dong with you. Come on.
Padway Show is coming up
next.
I'll be back tomorrow at 1. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. Michael Crozier has the news now. Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.